story of West Texas. I'm Michael. I hope that you had a great Christmas and New Year's. Here's what's coming up in the next few minutes. We'll be reading articles that include a synopsis of the last year and how 1 year ago this was just beginning. And then articles such as, we don't have a vaccine for our mental health. Why mental struggles will be a big issue in 2021. It's going to be a difficult year, World Health Organization official predicts. Coronavirus vaccine has arrived, but frustrated Americans are struggling to sign up. U.S. considering cutting Moderna vaccine doses in half to speed up rollout. U.S. CDC hopes to double the number of coronavirus samples checked for new mutations. Pregnant women agonize over whether to get coronavirus vaccine. Only one COVID-19 treatment is designed to keep people out of the hospital. Many overburdened hospitals are not offering it. More people flew Sunday than any day since the pandemic began. And then we'll also have an article more focused on our area from the Texas Tribune that is about the coronavirus vaccine rollout. Eligible Texans can't get answers about the COVID-19 vaccine. It's not clear who, if anyone, has them. First, we'll begin with the numbers from the Odessa American. Editor's note, Ector County last updated COVID-19 numbers Tuesday afternoon. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 11,543. Ector County negative, 37,671 out of 49,695 tested, with 481 pending, 181 deaths. Recovered, 9,711. Active, 1,651. From the Midland Reporter Telegram. The number of unconfirmed cases through Tuesday increased to 455. It was the most cases Sunday through Tuesday going back to the end of November, beginning of the December month. The percentage of rooms filled by COVID patients in Midland regions fell to 11.2%, which is around half the percentages in places like the Panhandle, Abilene, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Houston regions. The percentage of occupied inpatient rooms at Midland Memorial Hospital increased from 82 to 85% week over week, while the percentage of inpatient rooms filled by COVID patients remained at 27%. In the city of Midland, total confirmed and unconfirmed cases in December, 3,019. Total confirmed and unconfirmed cases during the pandemic, 13,321. COVID-19 deaths reported this week, 1. This past month, 39. During the pandemic, 185. From the Texas Tribune, Texas is starting 2021 with a record number of people hospitalized for COVID-19. Average new cases in Texas increased by 4,965 confirmed cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 3rd, 14,535 new cases were reported. Hospitalizations in Texas increased by 1,677 patients compared with a week ago. As of January 3rd, 12,563 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths in Texas increased by 45 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 3rd, 50 new deaths in Texas were reported. And now, before we get to our short articles, here are coronavirus briefs. Several health experts in recent days have suggested delaying the second dose of the coronavirus vaccine in order to inoculate more people to at least some extent sooner rather than later. The advice comes amid concerns about the highly transmissive UK variant, which has been reported in more than 30 countries, including the United States. Britain's chief health officials have already determined they will administer the second dose of the Pfizer and Oxford vaccines 12 weeks after the first, amid criticism from doctors' unions and other experts. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb echoed the sentiment Monday, telling CNBC that administering one dose to the younger cohort which are typically more resilient against the virus, would certainly extend the supply. The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus topped 350,000 on Sunday, as President Trump falsely claimed that the fatality count was exaggerated. The United States reported 210,479 new COVID-19 cases and 1,394 deaths on Sunday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The latest figures bring the totals in the U.S. to 20,636,663 infections. The United States reported 125,544 COVID-19 hospitalizations on Sunday, setting a new record high since the pandemic began, according to the COVID Tracking Project. This is the 33rd consecutive day that the U.S. has remained above 100,000 current hospitalizations. After months of anticipation, the U.S. vaccine rollout is off to a rough start, with crashing reservation websites and elderly people camping out overnight to wait in line. The Trump administration allowed 15 poultry plants to increase slaughter line speeds during the pandemic, a move that appears to have hastened the spread of the coronavirus. An inflatable Christmas costume may have helped to spread the coronavirus among staff members in a California hospital's emergency department. More than 1 million Americans are still waiting for unemployment aid, and some are told they must wait months to speak with the senior administrator about their case. The United States has seen an average of one death related to COVID-19 every 33 seconds over the past week, according to a CNN analysis of data from Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. has administered more than 4.2 million vaccine doses, but is lagging behind some other countries as hospitalizations continue to surge following the holidays. Countries around the world have implemented restrictions and travel bans from the U.K. to contain a new COVID-19 variant first reported in England. Test results are expected this week from labs that are studying whether a variant of the coronavirus first identified in Britain might pose a challenge to COVID-19 vaccines, according to a World Health Organization official. And now, here are some short articles. A year ago, rumblings about an outbreak in Wuhan were just beginning, by the Washington Post's Siobhan O'Grady. 1 year ago Monday, the World Health Organization tweeted about an unusual development in China, a cluster of pneumonia cases with no deaths in Wuhan, Hubei province. Investigations are underway to identify the cause of this illness, the WHO wrote. The next day, the UN agency tweeted that China had reported its first cases to the WHO on December 31st. A total of 44 cases have been reported, 11 patients who are severely ill, while the remaining 33 are in stable condition, the tweet said. China was heading into its Lunar New Year period, a time when millions of people typically travel for celebrations. Concern began to mount as cases popped up elsewhere among people who had recently visited Wuhan. Soon, tens of millions of people were placed under a lockdown in China in an attempt to stop the spread of the virus. In the early days of the outbreak, much was unknown about how the virus spread, including whether it was transmitted between humans. For much of the world, life went on as normal, even as photos emerged of Wuhan in crisis, its hospitals overwhelmed with sick patients. 2020, the year of the virus. On January 15th, in Snohomish County, Washington, a man returned to Seattle from Hubei province and fell ill, becoming the first known case of the novel coronavirus in the United States. Outbreaks soon started popping up around the world. New York confirmed its first case on March 1st. Northern Italy began contending with a widespread outbreak and implemented a lockdown to limit the spread. Cases started to climb in Iran. By mid-March, international travel was grinding to a halt. Offices and schools in the United States were closing. Life had been turned upside down for many. More than 85 million cases have since been confirmed worldwide, and more than 1.8 million people have died. We're now starting the pandemic's second year, so what happens next? From CNN's Faith Karimi. Our global coronavirus nightmare is entering its second year, and we're hanging on the best we can. Our lives have been turned upside down, the economy is sputtering, and more than 1.8 million people have died, 350,000 of them in the U.S., more than any other country in the world. As a nation, the U.S. is exhausted. American hospitals and healthcare workers are overwhelmed. The grief and trauma are piling up. The vaccine rollout is behind schedule. A new strain of the virus has emerged, and experts fear a post-holiday explosion of new cases and hospitalizations. The next few months will likely be dark and painful, but there's a promise of light on the horizon, with two vaccines approved in the U.S. and more on the way. There's hope for a gradual return to normalcy, whatever that looks like in a post-pandemic world. We don't have a vaccine for our mental health. Why mental struggles will be a big issue in 2021, from CNN's Kristen Rogers. There seems to be a light at the end of the long, harrowing pandemic tunnel as COVID-19 vaccines are approved. As the physical risks are better managed with vaccines, however, what will likely still remain is the indelible impact of the pandemic weighing on the collective psyche. The physical aspects of the pandemic are really visible, said Lisa Carlson, the immediate past president of the American Public Health Association and an executive administrator at the Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta. We have supply shortages and economic stress, fear of illness, all of our disrupted routines, but there's real grief in all of that. We don't have a vaccine for our mental health like we do for our physical health, Carlson added, so it will take longer to come out of those challenges. Based on the mental struggles endured by so many this year, burnout, trouble with sleep, and eating disorders are just some of the issues that mental health professionals anticipate coming to the fore in 2021. It's going to be a difficult year, WHO official predicts, from CNN Health's Elizabeth Cohen. Even though coronavirus vaccines are being rolled out, 2021 is still going to be tough, a top WHO official said Sunday. I think it's going to be a difficult year ahead, and we're going to have patience and stay the course, Maria Van Kerkhove, the WHO's technical lead for coronavirus response, told CNN Medical senior correspondent Elizabeth Cohen. The first part of the year will be difficult because in many countries, people did not heed advice to stay home over the holidays. We're in for a bit of a rough start for 2021, Van Kerkhove said, noting that movement and the behavior of people over Christmas and New Year's are going to make the first 3 months of 2021 quite difficult in terms of increased transmission, hospitalizations, and deaths. She added that the vaccines won't be a quick fix. I think it's going to be frustrating and slow to roll out. Slower than anyone would like, she said. The first 6 months of the year are going to be painful for people because they just want it to be done, and we really need people to have the patience to get through it. Van Kerkhove noted that people will still need to wear masks, practice social distancing, and avoid crowds well into the year. Return to normalcy. The United States and other countries seeing COVID-19 surges could get back to normal, or something resembling normal, in the summer or fall, Van Kerkhove said. She noted that while some countries in the Americas and Europe are seeing surges, Australia, New Zealand, and some other nations in Asia and Africa have had more success at controlling the spread of the virus. We've seen countries bring this virus to its knees without vaccination, she said. In many countries, they have that semblance of being back to normal. She said those countries have been more successful at testing for the virus, isolating sick people, contact tracing, quarantining people who have been exposed, and persuading people to work and shop from home. Coronavirus vaccine has arrived, but frustrated Americans are struggling to sign up, by Brittany Shamas and Lori Rosa. Barbara Schlevlin has kept a running tally of calls she made in search of the coronavirus vaccine. By Wednesday, she had tried the health department and a hospital system in Broward County, Florida, 184 times. You had at least 6 months to get ready. You could have figured out a better way to do this, said Schlevlin of Pompano Beach, Florida. It shouldn't be this hard. After months of anticipation, millions of doses of the two authorized coronavirus vaccines made by Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna are flowing into hospitals and health departments across the nation, putting the end of the pandemic in sight. But Americans trying to access shots are encountering systems that vary widely county to county, and that in many places are overwhelmed. Some counties and hospital systems launched reservation websites only for them to be quickly booked or crash. Other announced appointments only available through Facebook, with slots filling before some residents knew to look. U.S. considering cutting Moderna vaccine doses in half to speed up rollout, from CNN's Michael Nettleman and Dr. Sanjay Gupta. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration will meet this week to consider giving half doses of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine to people aged 18 to 55. The move would make the vaccine available to twice as many people in this age group, according to Moncef Slaoui, chief scientific advisor of Operation Warp Speed, the U.S. government's vaccine program. Slaoui told CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta that the decision to cut the current 100 microgram doses in half with another half dose 28 days later ultimately rests in the hands of the FDA. Earlier data showed that binding and neutralizing antibody responses were similar among participants under 55 who received either 100 microgram or 50 microgram doses, Slaoui said. While an FDA briefing document last month also references these comparable immune responses from Moderna's Phase 2 study, the full data have yet not been published. Slaoui said he's not sure if it holds for Pfizer, whose dose contains 30 micrograms, but that's a conversation that has yet to happen, he added. CNN has reached out to Moderna and Pfizer for comment. The U.S. government previously secured 200 million doses each of Moderna's and Pfizer's vaccines. U.S. CDC hopes to double the number of coronavirus samples checked for new mutations, from CNN Health's Elizabeth Cohen. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention hopes to more than double the number of coronavirus genomes sequenced to watch for new mutations in the U.S. over the next 2 weeks, a top official said Sunday. The United States is now sequencing about 3,000 samples a week, and the CDC hopes to more than double that to about 6,500 per week, according to Dr. Gregory Armstrong, director of the Office of Advanced Molecular Detection at the CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases. Scientists sequence the genome, the entire genetic map of the virus, to find mutations that could affect how the virus spreads. British scientists found a new variant of the virus was spreading there and say the pattern of mutations makes it more easily transmitted, although it does not appear to cause more severe disease. It's now been found in at least 37 countries, including in the U.S., where cases have been identified in California, Colorado, and Florida. It's important that we monitor the virus and that we be able to pick up these trends that have implications for public health and clinical medicine, Armstrong told CNN. Pregnant women agonize over whether to get coronavirus vaccine, by Frances Steed Sellers. For the first 8 months of her pregnancy, Yadira Rivas, a nurse coordinator at Neighborhood Health of Virginia, relied on masks and gloves to protect her from the coronavirus that is rampant among her patients. Recently, she's been considering another option, getting vaccinated. But after consulting with her obstetrician, Rivas decided to wait to get a shot until after her baby is born. One thing that the provider did mention is that it is worse to have the COVID than to have the vaccine, she said. But with no safety data available for pregnant women, Rivas thinks she would have chosen to wait even if she were far earlier in her pregnancy, just to stay safe, she said. The same conundrum faces millions of women across the country, among them many healthcare workers, such as Rivas, who are being offered vaccines not yet tested on pregnant or lactating women. Only one COVID-19 treatment is designed to keep people out of the hospital. Many overburdened hospitals are not offering it. By the Washington Post's Lori McGinley. Medical centers in the United States are balking at providing the only treatment for COVID-19 that aims to keep people out of the hospital, leaving hundreds of thousands of doses of the medication unused. Monoclonal antibodies, described as unbelievable by President Trump, who received the treatment this fall, are designed for patients newly diagnosed with COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, who have a high risk of developing complications and becoming seriously ill. But for hospitals already strained by a surge of COVID-19 cases, the outpatient pharmaceutical treatment prevents a major logistical challenge as exhausted staff scramble to care for patients and race to inoculate frontline workers with the first coronavirus vaccines. As of Wednesday, the federal government had allocated 550,000 doses to states and territorial health departments, which had distributed 378,000 doses to healthcare facilities, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. But only 20% of the supply had been used, HHS said. More people flew Sunday than any day since the pandemic began, by the Washington Post's Taylor Telford. The Transportation Security Administration screened more than 1.3 million travelers Sunday, marking yet another pandemic travel record as many Americans ignored warnings from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to stay home for the holidays. The agency screened 2.5 million passengers throughout the weekend. Sunday's record day of air travel coincided with another sobering milestone. The United States surpassed 350,000 coronavirus deaths. It was also the sixth straight day that the nation topped or neared 200,000 reported cases. Experts fear the rush could exacerbate the pandemic's ongoing surge, with many hospitals already being pushed to the limit. In April, at the height of the pandemic's first wave, TSA screenings hit a low of 87,500, 4% of the prior year's volume. But travel has increased steadily in recent months leading up to the holidays. 8 of the last 12 days have seen more than 1 million travelers pass through U.S. airports, according to the TSA. Those who traveled internationally for the holidays and sought to avoid lockdowns earned a condemnation from Pope Francis during his Sunday prayers. They are good people, but they didn't think about those who were staying at home, of the economic problems of many people who have been hit hard by the lockdown, of the sick people, Francis said Sunday. They thought only about going on holiday and having fun. This pained me a lot. In total, the TSA screened about 324 million passengers in 2020, down nearly 61% from 2019, when the agency screened 824 million passengers. And finally, here's an article from the Texas Tribune. Eligible Texans can't get answers about the COVID-19 vaccine. It's not clear who, if anyone, has them. By Sean Mulcahy, Dan Rosenzweig-Ziff, and Abby Livingston. Published December 31st. On December 22nd, Governor Greg Abbott sat in a conference room at the Ascension Seton Medical Center in Austin and rolled up his sleeve for the cameras. A nurse pricked a dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine into his left arm, and state officials and hospital staff in the room applauded. Abbott then threw up his arms. "It's that easy," he said. The event was a celebration of a major milestone in the battle against the coronavirus. Although cases were still mounting in Texas and new hospitalizations were climbing, 1.4 million healthcare workers and vulnerable Texans were set to receive the vaccine by the end of 2020, Abbott said, with millions more to come soon after. But in the days since that celebration, getting that vaccine to the people eligible to receive it has proven far from easy. The vaccine's rollout has been marred by poor messaging from state officials, technical errors, and logistical delays. As the final hours of 2020 ticked away, it was unclear whether anyone in the state knew how many doses of the vaccine had been administered here. And after state officials had expressed concern that vaccines were going unused and urged providers to give them to anyone who was eligible, many who met the qualifications were finding it difficult, if not impossible, to track down anyone with vaccines to give. Many counties asked Texans to sign up via an iPhone application or through an online registry, and some elder Texans are finding those technologies onerous. The confusion left medical experts and people urgently awaiting the vaccine frustrated and questioning how the state would be able to handle smoothly administering vaccines to a population of nearly 30 million in the coming months. All of this seems to have been avoidable if it had been properly thought through, said State Representative Donna Howard, Democrat, Austin. Mixed messages and confusion. State officials never planned to administer the vaccines themselves. Instead, a state panel would set their own eligibility guidelines based on recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. State officials would allocate an appropriate number of vaccine doses to providers, such as pharmacies, doctor's offices, hospitals, and medical clinics. The providers would receive shipments from the federal government. Shipments of the vaccine first began arriving at Texas hospitals on December 14th. The limited supply under Phase 1A of the state's rollout was reserved for frontline healthcare workers and residents and staff members of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities, which have been decimated by the virus. State officials estimated there were 1.9 million Texans eligible in that first tier. 1 week later, on December 21st, Dr. John Hellerstadt, Commissioner of the Texas Department of State Health Services, announced that Texans 65 and older and people who are at least 16 with certain medical conditions would be next in line. Health officials said it would likely be at least a few weeks before that group, referred to as Phase 1B, could receive their vaccinations. But 2 days later, Hellerstadt moved up that timeline. The state's vaccine tracking system, iMTrack 2, reported a significant portion of vaccine in Texas may not be administered yet, according to a letter he sent to healthcare providers that had received shipments of the vaccine. Hellerstadt directed providers to administer their entire allotment with all deliberate speed. At the time, DSHS spokesperson Chris Van Dusen said the December 23rd letter was meant to encourage providers not to wait until everyone in the 1A group had been vaccinated before moving on to the 1B group. Abbott gave a similar message on Tuesday. In a tweet, he suggested that an excess supply of vaccine was available and criticized providers for not moving quickly enough to administer it. A significant portion of vaccines distributed across Texas might be sitting on hospital shelves, as opposed to being given to vulnerable Texans, he said. That same day, Hellerstadt directed providers to immediately vaccinate all eligible Texans, including those in the 1B group. State data showed at the time that just 136,700 people had been vaccinated with at least one dose of the vaccine, a fraction of doses reportedly available. Earlier, state health officials said 1.4 million doses were allocated to providers across the state before the end of the year, but by then, their allocation estimate had decreased to 1.2 million. The state data suggested that there was an ample supply of vaccine, enough to expand eligibility to the 1B group weeks ahead of time. But in reality, as thousands of Texans would soon discover, doses of the vaccine remained in short supply. Carrie Williams, a spokesperson for the Texas Hospital Association, challenged Abbott's claim that there was an excess inventory of vaccines, saying the industry is moving as fast as possible. "We are certainly not sitting on vaccine," Williams said. "Vaccine is not sitting on hospital shelves." Vague messaging from state health officials left Texans who were desperate to get vaccinated without clear answers of where and how they schedule a vaccination. Many frantically called pharmacies, where they get their flu shots, for help. Marie Teresa Hernandez, who is over 65 and a professor of world cultures and literatures at the University of Houston, said a new surge in COVID-19 cases has put her and her family on edge. In recent days, the vaccine confusion added another layer of stress, false hope. Earlier this week, her adult children in Austin and London were led to believe over social media that vaccinations were easily available in her home of Fort Bend County. But after 2 days of calling around, Hernandez could not find anyone who could give her one. "We're all kind of in limbo," she said. But mostly, she misses her grandchildren in London. "We didn't get to see them this year because of COVID," she said. "We were hoping then, maybe with the vaccine, we could go a little sooner than later, and now it's like we have no idea." Pharmacies like CVS and HEB say they are still focusing on vaccinating medical workers or people in long-term care facilities. They don't have enough doses to vaccinate the general population, they said. Daya Campos, HEB's Director of Government Affairs, said Thursday the grocery chain's pharmacy have the capacity to administer around 100,000 doses of vaccine each week. Just a week after receiving its first shipment of 28,000 doses of vaccine, the company has administered or scheduled every single dose. Now it's left waiting for the state to tell it both how much vaccine it will receive in its next shipment and when that shipment will arrive. Right now, across its hundreds of Texas stores, it has none. Customers who call HEB pharmacies receive pre-recorded answers saying they are not yet distributing vaccines to the general public. "We are prepared to vaccinate more Texans, and we are just waiting to see how much allocation we are going to get on a weekly basis," Campos said. This uncertainty makes it nearly impossible to schedule people in the next phase. Once HEB does get more doses, Campos said eligible customers will be able to schedule a time to get their vaccine on the website or by calling. Eventually, if the pharmacy has enough doses, it hopes to accept walk-ins. CVS, which plans to spend the next 3 months focusing on vaccinating 275,000 residents and staff at 2,000 long-term care facilities in Texas, is also not yet opening up vaccine appointments to the general public. When that does happen, John Fratamico, a CVS district leader in Texas, said this could occur in March. Customers will sign up for what Fratamico called a round-trip ticket. Using the pharmacy's website or app or a 1-800 number, eligible Texans will schedule both the first and second doses of the vaccine on a first-come, first-served basis. "In all of our lifetime, think about it. Nothing like this has ever come up," Fratamico said. Because CVS is focusing on long-term facilities for the next few months, Fratamico said they will wait to figure out those plans with the state for the general public until closer to then. In the meantime, CVS and HEB, as well as many other pharmacies, are inundated with questions from Texans wondering how and when they can get vaccinated. Debbie Garza, the chief executive of Texas Pharmacy Association, cautioned that as hard as pharmacists are working to get this vaccine out, fielding calls could delay the process. "This takes a lot of pharmacy staff time to explain over the phone," Garza said. CVS is encouraging its customers to download its app, which will send a push notification once they are eligible to schedule appointments. Hospitals, many of which are waiting on shipments of the vaccine, are also being overwhelmed by calls from the general public seeking the vaccine. Williams, the spokesperson with the Texas Hospital Association, said this creates further operational challenges for hospitals flooded with COVID-19 patients. On Thursday, the final day of an unprecedented year, more than 12,200 Texans were hospitalized with COVID-19, breaking a record for the fourth straight day. Texas's seven-day average rate for tests that come back as confirmed COVID-19 cases has also remained above what Abbott once called a warning flag level for more than a week, while the state reported a near-record low 660 staffed ICU beds still available. Texas also reported 349 new deaths. "Hospitals are in full force. vaccinating everyone they can while managing record-level hospitalizations, Williams said. And there are still hospitals that have not received any vaccine for their frontliners. Many rural and psychiatric hospitals, Williams noted, still have not received any vaccine for their frontline workers. Data errors and delayed deliveries. The state has reported more than 282,000 people have received at least one dose as of Thursday, but local health officials say that number is surely an undercount. DSHS did not respond to multiple requests for comment. Abbott's office did not answer a list of emailed questions, including whether he is receiving briefings on the vaccine rollout or who is leading the state's efforts. Instead, spokesperson Renee Ease said in a statement that Abbott has directed DSHS and the Texas Department of Emergency Management to deploy medical teams to aid in vaccination efforts across the state. With new shipments arriving each week, provided at no cost, the state of Texas urges providers to swiftly vaccinate as many people as possible from the at-risk groups rather than these life-saving vaccines and medications sitting on shelves, E said, repeating a claim that many vaccine providers say isn't true. Part of the issue lies with the tracking system I'm Track 2, said Howard, the state representative. Her office spoke with DSHS staff on Wednesday, and she participated in a regularly scheduled briefing between the agency and lawmakers. She said health officials are trying to fix data entry errors in the system, which likely resulted in a major overestimation of available doses. More vaccine has been administered than was being revealed by the registry system, Howard told the Texas Tribune. I think the decision to allow the 1B group to get vaccinated was done before we had all the information we probably should have had, because there certainly wasn't the capacity to meet the new edict. Williams of the Texas Hospital Association said members of her association reported similar problems. With regard to state data on administered doses, we have no certainty it is accurate at this point in time, she said. The number of doses administered is higher than what's indicated. Technical errors are just one facet of Texas's vaccine struggles. Shipments from the federal government, which distributes doses of the vaccine to providers, have arrived damaged or late, Howard said. In some cases, expected distributions never arrived. States across the nation have reported similar delays. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told NBC's Today show that nationwide the rollout has been disappointing. Some Texas providers are just now receiving doses of the vaccine that were scheduled to be delivered last week, Howard said. Next week's allotment is expected to be much smaller than in previous weeks, she said. Other batches had to be returned or discarded because the vaccine, which must be stored at below freezing temperatures, arrived spoiled. Meanwhile, hospitalizations continue to surge. Abbott has ruled out the idea of future lockdowns, and the state has a long way to go before the vaccine could slow the spread of the virus. To finally get past the pandemic, public health experts have said the country needs to achieve herd immunity when enough of the population has immunity from the virus that the spread slows. Some believe that herd immunity is only achieved when 80% of people, 24 million people in Texas, have the antibodies. Peter Hotez, a vaccine expert and dean at the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine, tweeted Thursday that with 30 million people, Texas has its work cut out for vaccinating 80% of the state by the middle of the year, especially with the troubled rollout. We need to vaccinate almost 1 million Texans per week, Hotez wrote. Lots of work ahead. And that is your coronavirus update for this Monday, January 4th, 2021, from the Recording Library of West Texas. I'm Michael, and coming up next, we'll bring you programming to take us up to the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll bring you USA Today with national news. Meanwhile, we'll also have, of course, at 3 o'clock, our local news broadcast. And here are some of the articles that our volunteers will be reading for you. from the front page of the MRT, coronavirus, local funeral homes overwhelmed by COVID-19 deaths. Honoring a career, Conaway leaves Congress after 16 years. Our view, Conaway represented an entire district well. Coronavirus. Health department schedules all 200 vaccine doses in one day. And from the Odessa American. Pfluger calls for election investigation. Ellen Noel adjusts to new normal. Pfluger takes oath of office today. New congressman has legislation ready to be introduced. And school district needs substitutes. Those articles and more will be up at 3 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have more news with the Wall Street Journal. As always, thank you very much for joining us today, our first day of programs in 2021. We'll be back at 1 o'clock again tomorrow afternoon. Meanwhile, be safe and have a great day. Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This program is intended for a Prince Impaired audience and is brought to you by GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Hello, I'm Allison Ramsey and this is Health Magazine. Today I'll be reading from health.com. The first story is, what is the incubation period of the flu? And when are you most contagious? You may be able to pass on the virus even if you don't feel sick yet, by Corinne Miller, posted on November 30th, 2020. One of the most worrisome things about the flu, aside from the gnarly symptoms, is that you can walk around with the virus without even knowing you're infected. Unfortunately, that also means you can spread influenza to plenty of other people during this time, again, without having a clue that you even have the flu in the first place. It's known as the flu's incubation period, and it's a big reason why the flu is so easily spread. Catherine Bowling, MD, a primary care physician at Baltimore's Mercy Medical Center, tells Health. But while you've likely heard all about symptoms of the flu, fever, cough, fatigue, etc., best prevention tactics, the flu shots, and even any possible remedies, Tamiflu, you might be a little less sure about what the incubation period of the flu is, what that means, and if there's any way to know if you're in it. Here's what experts want you to know. First, a refresher on the flu. To understand the flu's incubation period, it's first a good idea to go over the virus itself. Influenza, aka the flu, is a contagious respiratory infection caused by several flu viruses that infect the nose, throat, and lungs, according to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID. Each year, the flu makes millions of people sick and causes thousands of hospitalizations and flu-related deaths. During the 2019-2020 flu season, for example, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, estimates there were up to 56 million illnesses, 740,000 hospitalizations, and 62,000 deaths from the flu in the U.S. Anyone can get the flu and spread it to others, even healthy people, the NIAID says. The virus can be especially risky for certain groups, including the very young, elderly, pregnant women, and people with certain medical conditions, which is why it's so scary that you can have influenza and not know it. People who get infected with the flu may develop symptoms like fever, chills, muscle aches, coughing, congestion, headache, and fatigue for about a week. Most flu patients get better within 2 weeks, but some people can develop serious complications like pneumonia, NIAID says. Okay, so what is an incubation period? It's important to point out that an incubation period isn't unique to the flu. COVID-19, for example, also has an incubation period, as do plenty of other infectious diseases. An incubation period is basically the time frame from when you are exposed to some kind of pathogen to when you start showing signs or symptoms of that disease process. Eric Blutninger, MD, an emergency medicine physician at Mount Sinai, Queens, tells Health. So if you pick up the flu from a friend who is sick, the time between when you hung out and when you start showing symptoms, it is the incubation period. Your body begins mounting a response to the virus as soon as you're exposed to it through something called your innate immune system, or the one you were born with that helps keep harmful materials from entering your body. Once the virus gets past the innate immune system, after the virus has had time to multiply in your body, your more targeted adaptive immune system kicks in and your symptoms ramp up. How long is the incubation period of the flu? There's no exact time frame that's the same for every person with the flu, but in general, the CDC says that the incubation period of the flu can range between 1 and 4 days, with the average length of time being 2 days. People with the flu are the most contagious the first 3 to 4 days after they were infected, per the CDC, which can coincide with the incubation period. Most healthy adults may be able to infect others starting the day before they show symptoms and continue to be infectious up to 7 days after they become sick, the CDC adds. People have the flu and are out and about doing their regular stuff, coming into contact with others before they get sick, Dr. Bowling says. You can infect plenty of people during that time. Will you know if you're in the incubation period for the flu? Nope. Generally, the flu is only recognized once symptoms develop, Dr. Blutinger says. The incubation period isn't easily detected. Hindsight really is everything, Dr. Bowling says. Once you develop symptoms of the flu, you have at least some clue of when your incubation period was. The only way to really have a tip-off of when your incubation period is, when you're actually living through it, is if you know you've been exposed to someone with the flu, Dr. Bowling says. But unfortunately, most people are infected without knowing it. The bright side of all of this, if there even is such a thing, is that the proven methods to prevent the spread of COVID-19 also work to lower your risk of both contracting and passing on the flu. So if you happen to catch the flu, wearing a mask while you're out and about and practicing social distancing should go a long way toward making sure your incubation period doesn't harm anyone else. That story was, What is the Incubation Period of the Flu? And When Are You Most Contagious? By Corinne Miller, posted on November 30th, 2020. The next story is, Skip the Pharmacy Lines This Winter by Shopping Amazon's Under the Radar Line of OTC Medications. Its quality and safety is similar to store brands, according to a doctor. By Braylon Wood, posted on December 23rd, 2020. Each product we feature has been independently selected and reviewed by our editorial team. If you make a purchase using the links included, we may earn commission. From headaches to sore muscles, aches and pains are all part of being human, but that doesn't mean you have to suffer. Thousands of Amazon shoppers turn to Amazon's Basic Care line to find over-the-counter pain medications to treat their mild symptoms. The Amazon Basic Care lineup includes both types of OTC pain relievers, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, aspirin, naproxen sodium, and acetaminophen. Amazon offers 22 different OTC pain-relieving products to choose from, and all of them are affordably priced way below brand name alternatives. While it might feel strange to buy generic meds online, especially from a marketplace generally known for its deals on anti-aging skincare and comfy shoes, it's totally safe. The Basic Care line is made by a licensed manufacturer of generic drugs, so the quality and safety should be comparable to the store brands. Edward Fisher, MD, PhD, a preventive cardiologist at NYU Langone, tells Health. Of course, it's still important to check with your doctor before starting a new medication. The Basic Care line has a few seriously popular products, including the Basic Care Naproxen Sodium Tablets for back and muscle pain, $4, Amazon.com. Already a favorite of more than 9,000 shoppers, the product contains naproxen sodium, the same primary active ingredient as Aleve. The NSAID blocks enzymes in the body to reduce inflammation and fever. Basic Care says the medication can be used to treat general muscle and back pain, menstrual cramps, toothaches, minor pains from arthritis, headaches, and even common cold symptoms. Each 220 milligram dosage promises up to 12 hours of relief and is safe for adults and children over the age of 12. Like all medications, NSAIDs do have some potential side effects. Most commonly, they're known for causing stomach issues like nausea or ulcers and promoting bleeding. That's because the same enzymes they block to prevent pain and inflammation also protect the stomach lining and blood clotting. However, once you start using naproxen sodium tablets as part of your pain management with your doctor's approval, other reviewers say you'll really see a difference. I have 3 herniated discs and was seeing a spine doctor, wrote one reviewer. She prescribed an opioid and back injections. I had one round of injections. The pain relief lasted only a few days, and the opioid gave me chronic constipation. A friend recommended this product, and I haven't looked back. I take 2 tablets in the morning under the supervision of my doctor, and I am pain-free all day. A 70-year-old shopper shared, as an aging ex-athlete, I have more than my fair share of aches and pains, mainly from inflammation at the sites of old injuries. Naproxen has proven to be a steady standby in providing the relief I need to ignore the nagging pain from those old transgressions. Most importantly, shoppers confirm you'll get the same quality and payoff of brand name medication with this generic option. All things considered, it's definitely time to start using Amazon's Basic Care line to stock up on best-selling pain relievers for your medicine cabinet. That story was Skip the Pharmacy Lines This Winter by Shopping Amazon's Under-the-Radar Line of OTC Medications by Braylon Wood, posted on December 23, 2020. The next story is Getting the COVID-19 Vaccine. What to expect before, during, and after your appointment. You may not be getting the vaccine for quite a while, but here's what to know when that time comes, by Corinne Miller, posted on December 15, 2020. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is officially being distributed throughout the U.S. after the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, authorized it for emergency use on December 11. Right now, the first round is being rolled out to healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities. So unless you fall into one of those 2 groups, you're likely not going to get the vaccine anytime soon. Still, the Pfizer vaccine and any other forthcoming vaccines are at the top of everyone's minds. So it's normal to have questions about the process, especially what you can expect when you get the vaccine at some point in the future. To help, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has released guidelines on what people can expect before, during, and after the vaccination process. Here's what you need to know if you want to be prepared for what's to come. First, some COVID-19 vaccine basics. The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, which is the only vaccine against the coronavirus that's currently approved by the FDA for emergency use, uses newer technology called messenger RNA, mRNA. Biotech company Moderna also has a COVID-19 vaccine that uses mRNA and could be granted emergency use authorization by the FDA as soon as this week as well. These mRNA vaccines work by encoding a part of the spike protein found on the surface of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, explains. The vaccine uses pieces of the encoded protein to spark an immune response in your body. That, in turn, causes your body to develop antibodies to SARS-CoV-2, which should help you fight off the infection in the future. Afterward, your body eliminates the protein and the mRNA, while the antibodies stick around to help provide immunity. What you should do before you get the COVID-19 vaccine. First, the agency recommends that you see if COVID-19 vaccination is recommended for you right now. Again, currently, it's only recommended that healthcare workers and nursing home residents get vaccinated, but that will change over time and with more availability. Then the CDC recommends that you learn more about how the COVID-19 vaccine works and the benefits of getting vaccinated. Those benefits include helping to keep you from getting COVID-19, the vaccine being a safer way to help build protection against the virus, and helping to stop the pandemic. Additionally, while there's no official guidance on this, it's not a bad idea to take it easy the night before, infectious disease expert Amesh A. Adalja, MD, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, tells Health. You don't want to do a bunch of shots and then be hungover, he says. His biggest concern, if you feel crappy, it could be blamed on the vaccine instead of your hangover. Also, there is a chance that the COVID-19 vaccine could cause some flu-like side effects, and you don't want to deal with that on top of already feeling crummy, Dr. Adalja says. Another thing you don't want to do is to take acetaminophen or ibuprofen in anticipation of potentially having side effects from the vaccine. Nobody has studied that, William Schaffner, MD, an infectious disease specialist and professor at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, tells Health. We don't think it would impair your immune response, but we don't want to take any chances. Overall, Dr. Adalja recommends following this advice. Just do what you would normally do within reason. What happens when you get the COVID-19 vaccine? As of now, the vaccine is being given at medical centers, but that's subject to change. There's been some talk of dentists and optometrists vaccinating people in the future to get the vaccine out more quickly, but that hasn't happened yet. When you show up for your appointment to get vaccinated, the CDC recommends covering your mouth and nose with a mask and staying at least 6 feet away from others, until, of course, it's time to be vaccinated. The actual vaccination process will be similar to how it's been when you've gotten a flu shot or most other vaccines. John Selleck, DO, an infectious disease expert and professor of medicine at the University of Buffalo SUNY in New York, tells Health. Meaning, a spot on your upper arm will be sterilized with rubbing alcohol or something similar, and you'll receive your injection. You will be asked to wait around for 15 minutes or so to make sure you don't have a reaction, Dr. Schaffner says. This is technically also a recommendation with the flu shot, but many places don't enforce it, he says, adding, I think this will be observed with the COVID-19 vaccine, just to be safe. Then, the CDC says that you should receive a vaccination card or printout that tells you what COVID-19 vaccine you received, the date you received it, and where you received it. You should also receive a paper or electronic version of a fact sheet that tells you more about the specific COVID-19 vaccine you are being offered. Again, as of this second, Only the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine has been authorized by the FDA. After that, you can go about your merry way, Dr. Selleck says. What you can expect after you get the COVID-19 vaccine. You won't be considered fully vaccinated